from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cuddings and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Well, we've had a little bit of a break since the last episode because we had to give time to Nigel to get himself to the other side of the world. So he's now firmly ensconced in Australia, in Melbourne. So welcome to Australia, Nigel, from afar. Now, this week, I attended the launch of the Good Practice Research, the Evolution of 70-20-10, and in London. And Nigel went one better and actually launched it in Melbourne before it got launched in London. So this week, it seems to make a lot of sense to have a quick chat about this piece of research.
I agree.
So Nigel, tell us why on earth anyone should take note and read this piece of research.
I think there are three reasons, Martin. That's what I would sum up, and you may or may not agree with me, but you can judge on it. The first thing is that it is about time we stopped messing around, fannying around in 70-20-10 and started to look at what's actually going on inside business. So get beyond the concept and the branding and the badge and look at whether the ideas that underpin 70-20-10 actually are making a difference inside real organizations delivering learning in the 21st century. And I'm pleased to say that the research seems to affirm that. Now, we're no longer arguing about whether it's 70-20-10 or 15 and 32, or I don't know what they all add up to. Anyway, we've given up all of that nonsense. We're aware, people are sophisticated, they're aware that the actual figures don't matter. The fuss is about focusing on the job learning, learning from experience as well as formal training, and creating a complementary learning environment. So I think that is important, and the evidence from the research, even though it's a small sample, the evidence would back that up. And the third reason is that we should be using 70-20-10 as a bedrock. This is where we are. We move from that. We build out of that. And there is also evidence to suggest that we are building away from it. Now, I gave a talk in Melbourne, and what I was saying was that it's a kind of starting point, moving towards a learning culture. It doesn't mean you have a learning culture. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have wonderful learning in your organization. But the fact that you're taking a holistic view is a great starting point for doing something a little more than order taking or presenting a menu to staff or concentrating all your efforts on delivering as many programs through an LMS as you possibly can. It's a good, well-proven, decent philosophy of learning, and this report would seem to validate that. Martin, challenge me if you want to.
Well, I think it sort of reflects the state of L&D, that this actually matters as much as it does. I cannot believe that the idea of learning informally and on the job versus in a classroom warrants a whole model and approach, and that it has taken until 2018 for this to be recognised as the way that people actually learn on the job, you know, in their work. And maybe that reflects just organisations, because L&D can be built in the image of the organisation with which it operates. So maybe this is just an observation. I find that deeply depressing, actually, that it is that this is what we're talking about right now in this way. And I think it does reflect the fact that there are some fairly stubborn legacy ways of doing things. And the L&D team is needing to educate the business on what good looks like now. That'd be an observation about this whole area. The other thing about it is that I'm still trying to reconcile this approach with the idea of just understanding what the business challenge is and what people need in order to deliver on that in their work. And that, when I think in those terms, I don't think of this model at all. You know, I feel quite liberated to just do what is required, and people, you know, need things in different ways. Yeah, I always felt this was a statement of the bleeding obvious, and the fact that it's become a thing, and here we are talking about some research on it, surprises me, but it shouldn't. And I completely take your point about what you said. I think if it's a useful way of recalibrating the L&D offer so that from here on in it can be a lot more contemporary and a lot more focused on what's going on in the business, then great. My big caveat about that is that this approach is about enabling people to do stuff, yeah? Do stuff differently. And from my observation of the sector is that there's a big, big emphasis on content and knowledge and capability and not on doing. So this model sounds great in the sense that it focuses on doing, but are organisations really able to let their employees do the things that they need to do and learn from them and do them better?
Yeah, I accept that. The case study we had in Melbourne was by a very interesting woman, and what she was saying is that what this has done for her is got her beyond content into context. So she's spending all her time working out what the organization needs, what the business needs, and then there are many ways in which you can deliver what the business needs, but you start off with the business and you start off with impact on the business. You don't start off with how many courses can I sell? How can I give you 43 courses when last year I only gave you 36? All of that has fallen away. So I think that it helps people think more broadly. It helps people engage with the business. But the other interesting point that emerged from that case study and from the report is that it doesn't necessarily travel quite well. You don't need to go into the executive team and say, we're taking a 70-20 view, because they think you're completely crazy. It's a sort of private shorthand for L&D. But once you've agreed on that, I would argue you have better conversations with the business. That's the essence of it, better conversations with the business.
Yeah, I did, you know, in the research, I liked the idea that this whole concept or approach or philosophy or whatever you want to call it did lead to a lot of debates within L&D teams. And I think that's quite powerful. So it's, you know, it'd be easy to diminish this or dismiss it even. But I did think that the fact that teams were thinking, well, if this is a grounded approach, what does that look like for us and what our offer is to the business and how we talk about our offer? Because there is a, you know, there is a need for L&D team to really shift things in the business now, to do things differently. So if this helps that, then I think it's a good thing.
It is, and it is kind of a private conversation. This is not a context for how you talk with your organisation. It's a context for how you talk with your team and with yourself. But one other little thing, thumbs up to good practice, totally transparent about the questions they ask, the numbers involved, the sectors that were involved. So no trying to say that we had, that imply that the quantum was, you know, tens of thousands. It's a small number. And the questions are good questions. Your perception of 70-20-10, how it's communicated, implementation, results, impact, those kind of good, solid questions about learning for learning professionals. And that's, I think, the organization to whom this is directed. So, you know, I would seriously recommend that anyone listening to this who hasn't downloaded the report completely free from the Good Practice website and not given it a going over is missing a trick. They should do that. It's a useful contribution. But having said that, I accept your caveats, Martin, that it should not be an excuse to have the wrong kinds of conversations and to argue internally and kind of anally about the nature of learning. It's about how you have better conversations with business. And I think that this could facilitate it. So I'm pleased to have been at the launch. I'm pleased to have read the report. I think it makes a little contribution on the way.
Great. And on that note, I think we should say fond farewell until next time.
Indeed we will, Martin. Fond farewell to next time.
From scratch.